why would we bother doing a podcast?
I don't know.
Yeah, we think about that a lot. That would just be a print artist?
Better.
Leave a comment that's hashtag this is awkward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Beards and Comics Podcast. Aaron's here. Matt's not here. I don't know where Matt is. Maybe he'll join us later. Maybe he'll explain why he's late for the recording. These are all questions that are up in the air, and maybe we'll find out tonight. Maybe we won't. Maybe I'll have to make a post about it. Irregardless, the show goes on. We are ticking ever closer to episode 100. In fact, these episodes here will be 97 and 98, which means we have to figure out something for 99, and I haven't put any thought into it yet. And more importantly, we have to put something into number 100, and we have very little thoughts on that. So if you guys have suggestions of things you would like to hear Matt and I discuss or talk about for our big episode 100, please send us messages, let us know. I have a few things already that some people have sent over, and I will be sure that we talk about all of that stuff. Anyway, tonight we have another guest who I've never talked to before, so this is fun for me. This is the second guest in a row that's somebody that Matt and I don't know. So, you know, it's nice to balance things out. And every show since we've been back, in fact, has been people we don't know. So eventually we'll get somebody that everybody's heard from before on here, if we feel like it. But if not, then whatever. But tonight we are joined by Carissa Grant. I'm going to apparently keep saying we. I guess we'll treat it as a royal we. But Carissa, welcome to Beards and Comics Podcast. Hope you're doing well.
I am. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We start off with an introduction. Who the heck are you? Why should we know who you are?
Okay. I am the writer and creator of Worthy Chaos. I write Redemption with a co-writer that I met while role-playing. And we wrote 5 novels for fun, and technically 10, but 5 for the series. And we thought it was too good to waste, so we decided to turn it into a comic book. So
nice.
Now, with no experience whatsoever, we have decided to create a comic book. Our last campaign ended like 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and we did issues 1 through 3. And now we've got pre-launch for issue 4, which we're launching April 18th.
Awesome. And if you send me that link after the show, then after we record, I'll make sure it's in the show notes for the podcasts. So, yeah, absolutely. So you came from a different background with more so doing novels. So that's fun for me because I don't talk to a lot of comic book writers that also write prose. I feel like I'm one of the only people that do. But I've met a few at this point. But for the most part, everyone I know, they either stick to comics or they stick to novels. What kind of made you gravitate toward the comic book world?
To be honest, I grew up with comic books, and I'm more of a storyteller than a writer, and I just really, really wanted to see our characters come to life. We both are obsessed with our characters, like, a little bit too much, and to see it, you know, just to see our characters in action on paper is just amazing to do. And we did our comic book a little bit different because we did come from writing it as a novel. So there's more thought bubbles than most people might be used to. you know, we call them chapters instead of issues because we write it per chapter. But I still can't write it as a script. I have to write it in novel form first and then convert it. Even when I'm adding like one scene, I added a scene the other day of their fathers fighting her father's an angel and his is a demon, and they were fighting in the woods, and I had to write it first as a novel and then convert it like 2 seconds later. I don't write in script form, and I would say that the hardest part of converting it was dialogue. Because, you know, when you're writing a novel, you can write as much as you want, and probably 80% of the novel was either them talking or them thinking. And then when I first wrote the script, I didn't know what I've only been working. We started this maybe 6 months ago for the comic book. The books Took us 2.5 years to write. Mm-hmm. And I actually had the idea 17 years ago. But to convert it, my first script had to be redone because my letterer is like, did you want anyone to see the art, or, you know, did you want it to be all dialogue? And I was right. Like, yeah, I should probably figure that out. And then ironically, my review from my dad was like, oh, there isn't that much writing, even though you see it happening. I was like, Dad, I changed it from a novel to the comic book. So I had to get rid of some of the writing, but.
I've always found it funny with, my parents getting into the comic book world. My father only remembers comic books from when he was a child, and he's like in his almost his mid-70s at this point. So his comic books were, you know, legit Superman and all that. Yep. I remember telling him I was working on comics, and he was just like, aren't those for kids? And I was like, honestly, it's hard to find comics for kids now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a medium that lets us tell stories in a different way. And it's fun to be able to do the prose and then also do scripting. I'll say that some of the scenes I write as well, I just completely write out in cinematic form. And then I have to go back and script them. And the worst part is having to kill dialogue or like little things that maybe they'd, I won't kill anything that truly matters, but yeah. I'm more than willing to kill things that maybe I thought was cool, but don't actually propel the story. And that's hard in comic books, especially if you're doing like a 22 page single issues. And yeah, I get it.
So the toughest part, I think, so their bond is mostly through them thinking about the other person. I mean, they don't really communicate as much. So we had to add the thought bubbles to get their bond across, but it's still not as strong. It's hard for me to get that true bond because they're soulmates, and their bond that comes through is again, them thinking, you know, about the other one and the things that they would do for the other one or give up for the other one or go through. And to portray that in a comic book, you know, it's a lot harder. And I've already converted all of book one. I separated the five books into about 7 or 8 issues. So we released the seven, usually the seventh one is double because that's just the way I did it. And then we're releasing it as like a paperback graphic novel.
Of course. Yeah.
So yesterday I did script, chapter one of book two, and there was, I forgot, it's been a while since I read it. So I forgot how good it was. I was like, for some reason I want this. That sounds like really modest, but, book three is all zombies. So it's like Resident Evil. So I was dying to get to book three. So all I ever thought about is book three. So when I was reading book, when I was converting book two, I was like, oh, this was actually really good. And I had to, like you said, figure out like he was thinking this, so this panic about her, but I can't get all that into, you know, the dialogue or the thought process. So it's, I had to go through and figure out what I'm not going to add and, you know, cut it down a little bit because I'm trying to get it within the 7 or 8 issues. And so I got rid of like little things here and there, but generally I've been keeping mostly all of it because I hate to lose any of it.
Yeah.
So, but with this artist who's amazing, by the way, Jonas DaCosta, this is his first paid job. Mm. And it took a little while to get in sync, you know. I originally had a different artist for issue one and they kind of screwed me over. I pretty much lost $5,000 in that. They stole three. Jeez. I tried to fix it with two and it just was a hot mess to me. So, when this artist came in, he started on issue two and, I didn't understand his style because with the other artist I've ever had, I just give them a script. They do the panels exactly how I say it and exactly what I do. And then I don't have to think about it. With him, and it's better, don't get me wrong, I just didn't understand it. He would turn like certain panels into like 8 panels. Like he would just, you know, do this whole action thing that I didn't understand. And I finally realized I had to cut my scripts in half so that I can give him more leeway to do what he wanted. So I went from doing 5 to 7 panels down to 3 to 4, sometimes 5, depending on if I'm, you know, what I'm specifically doing. And after we stopped arguing during that issue too. It worked out so much better. Once I realized that we have to compromise. And I said, listen, if you follow the script, how I wrote it And if you want to add stuff, I'll pay to print it and you just do it, your pages for free, so that we kind of, you know. And then I cut my script down to give him more freedom in it, and it worked out much better. So I became more in sync when we went. And it's so funny because when I first started with issue two, my husband's like, you need a new artist because you guys are just fighting too much. I was like, no, he's the one. He's I went through like 30 or 35 artists to find. I spent thousands on character designs and to get all these sample pages, and he actually wound up giving me his for free. Because I was so tired of looking at crappy, not always crappy art, but my characters looking, you know, crappy to me, and other artists that were amazing, and I didn't like it. I think at that point, by the time he came, I had like five people doing free test pages for me because I had posted my story. And so when he came, he's like, you know, are you doing commissions? And I said, I have five people doing free ones now. So if you want to do a free one, you can, and I'll look at it right away. Or if I don't pick any of them, I'll pay you for a page. So I was like, oh no, I'll give you a free one. And the second he gave it to me, I was like, yeah, you're that. Yeah. So he did issue two, then he did issue three. And by the time he did three, I was like, you have to redo one. Like you have to, like, yeah. I need it redone. And I knew I was going to waste $5,000. And I told my husband, I was like, I need to redo one. He's like, didn't you just do that? I was like, yeah, I need to. And it's so funny because I asked like 20 people their opinions. And they're all I asked all these, and every single one of them says, you can change artists, it doesn't matter, don't worry about it, don't redo it. And then I redid it anyway. So they were all like, why did you ask us? I was like, I really wanted to be convinced to not redo it, but I love my characters. I love the way they look. The way this artist does it is the way I wanted them to look. And I also wanted the best for the comic book. So I no regrets. I redid it, and it's totally worth it. And we were on such a crunch time because my artist was leaving for a month and he had to get it done before he left. And I was I'll tell you, he worked night and day, weekends. And of course, during that time, he had to move for a week. So he had to get up extra early to do them and get them done. And he did. And it looks amazing. And I was so happy with it. And now it's killing me because he's still on vacation. And I'm like, I'm having withdrawals. I don't need my pages. And my husband told me not to bother him while he's away. For the first 2 weeks, I did not message him at all. And all of a sudden, I got a message from him saying, I know I'm on vacation, but I miss the story so much. He goes, I can't wait to get back to draw. And I was like, see, you can't buy that kind of loyalty.
No. I think a lot of it has to do with personalities. Yeah. And you know, how well you mesh with other people. For me, you know, I've worked with a few different artists and done a few different kinds of stories. And of course, there's Matt, who you know, I run Catalyst with and the podcast, and we have a great relationship and we're buddies. And so I often don't even think about him as, you know, having that similar aspect. But anyway, I work with Joe. Joe did Tilt 1, 2, 3, and 4. I remember after issue 2, him and I were just chatting, and I brought up some story that I really wanted to do, and it was very different for something coming from me, not something that people would expect. And he was like, man, that sounds really cool, once I told him what it was. And he was like, if you get to do this, like, I want to be the artist on it. And we've done 2 more Tilt issues since then. And so, like, we talk quite a bit, but we've gotten to the point now where if I can, I know him well enough that I can put something in the script where it's like, I'll even direct it to him, like, Joe, these panels need to accomplish this or whatever. And I try to do that very seldomly, but I want to give him some space to have creative freedom and fun as well. So now we're working on a pitch, and you had brought it up earlier that you had read back through something that you wrote, and you're like, oh, this is pretty good. I had that moment last night when I think it was the fifth page for the pitch that this team's working on came through, and I read through it, and like, I was like, oh, I forgot that I wrote this. Like, so the letterer was like, when did you write it? And I was like, I went and looked on my drive and saw when the file date was, and it was like July 4th of 2019. So it's been just floating, sitting there for a minute. So yeah, I don't remember a lot of the stuff that I wrote. And so I got to sit back down with it and develop the entire pitch, because it'll be a 5-issue series. And just before this, I actually recorded for the team. I gave them a breakdown of what each of the issues is or are, and sent it over to them. So we'll see what they say. But I have those similar moments too, where sometimes you forget you did something, and you also forgot that it was good. And so you have those moments where it's like, oh crap.
Well, see, my co-writer and I are still we're working on more of the series. We have series one for this is done. Mm-hmm. Series two is started. We're like five issues in, but the spinoff we have 4.5 books for. So we're still writing that one, and we're still writing the prequel, which we have 5 issues for, I think. So I was writing her last night, and I was like, Jessica, who's my amazing co-writer, I said, I forgot how good book two was. Like, I was so determined to get to book three. I kept telling everyone, I'm going to shorten book two because I don't know what happens, but they're in some kind of haunted asylum, and I don't know. I don't remember. So when I was writing it, not only is the like the first 4 seconds is they're trapped in the asylum and they can't get out because there's a spell along it. And Anubis is trying to get in and he can't. And then they go up the stairs and like 4 seconds in, she's attacked by a giant salamander with like spikes and claws. And then she gets chased by it. And then he tries to Draven, who's the her soulmate, tries to run after them, but he gets attacked by another one. And then zombies come out. I was like, I don't remember zombies being in this. Like, how are zombies in this? And so I was all into it. And by the time I finished issue or chapter one that day, and I was like, this is better than I remember. Mm. So I went through and I actually separated all of most of issue two, and I was like finding where that wanted each one to end. And I was like, oh, I'm going to end it here. And so all of it's actually better than I thought. So I guess we were a lot better than I was giving ourselves. I told her, I was like, I feel embarrassed that I forgot that we wrote this.
it happens.
Apparently, I mean, our story is very complex. We put a lot of thought in. We didn't, like I said, we didn't mean to release it. It wasn't like a known thing. It was after we finished, and we didn't even write it technically parts of it in order. We would skip around to our favorite parts and we'd get an idea and then skip to that. We have to do this idea. And then we'd find a way to connect the two of them. And when we were done, and I reminded her, oh, you have to do part of this chapter you didn't reply to, and you have to do this. And by the time we're done, we're like, I'm like, we have 5 novels, about 90,000 words each. We need to do something with this. We need to do something with this story. And so that's, we kind of jumped right into it. It's written in RP form, so it's a different kind of novel. But
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and so we couldn't really release it. So we didn't know what to do with it. And actually how it started was I said, we should look up an artist just to make up a cover for us. And I'll print these out in novel form. I think you could do it like lulus.com or something. You could print out a novel. Yeah. So I was like, let me find an artist. And I was searching through and I said, these are kind of cartoony artists. I'm looking for a realistic one, but these are kind of cartoony. Do you want to do cartoony? And she's like, yeah, whatever. And I was like, you know, we could do like a graphic novel or something. She's like, we could. And then literally that day I went out and hired an artist. So, and then I'll never forget this. I was laying in bed that very night and I was texting her and I said, I don't know how to do a script. Like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. She's like, yeah, I'll figure it out. And I woke up the next day, I went and watched a YouTube video and I was like, oh, let's see how this goes. In like 2 seconds, I wrote 2 words down and the whole thing was like done. I was like, So after I started it, it was just meant to be a comic book. It just felt like it was meant to be a comic book. And then when I got this artist, it was like way too good to be true. We're like, this guy, you know, and like you said, I give him more freedom. You know, I put 3 panels down and he turns it into like 6, 8 with all these cool, really cool shots. And I wasn't used to it, but it's actually what a lot of people like. Like his panel work is really well done. Yeah. He's really good at the storytelling of it. And I mean, he's new, you know, he is new and he's learning. And but I took his artwork and my original issue one to the comic book store and they said issue one, they're looking at it like, oh, this is pretty good for indie. You know, it's good. And then I showed him the other one. He goes, this is really good for mainstream. He's like, he's really good. He's very talented. And the first thing I did when I got back in the car was wrote to my artist. I was like, they loved your stuff.
Of course.
So, that was really something. I think that's why he likes it so much too. And he even said, he goes, it's addicting. It's an incredibly addicting story. I'm hoping to everyone else and not just us, but you like with issue one, I mean, the first two are very chaotic. I mean, it's right in the name. You can't really yell at me. But it's very chaotic. They're separated in the very beginning. Everyone's like, you're giving away spoilers. It's literally the first two pages. Her brother decides to side with the demons. She's an angel, and she doesn't know it, but she's an angel descendant, and Draven, her soulmate, is a demon descendant. And they were planning to run away together. And the brother found out about it and decided to side with the demons and slaughter their human parents. So, hey! Thanks for joining.
What's up, guys?
I heard the brakes outside. Just...
So they were planning to run away together. The brother decided to murder the parents, and he went after Serafina. And she called Draven and said, don't come here. My brother just killed my parents, and he's trying to kill me. So, of course, the first thing he does, you know, is go there. So Draven goes in the front door. Serafina jumps out the back window, and she's trying to get to Draven. And Draven's in the house calling her. She turns around, realizes he's in the house, and she gets hit by a car. And then Draven slips on her blood, and 2 seconds later is arrested for her murder. So for 10 years, they thought the other was dead, and they were separated. And during that time, she trained as a supernatural hunter, and he trained as an assassin. And no angel or demon can find them because they weren't together. So, like, it didn't set off alerts. They weren't, you know, they're off the radar. So when he moves back to town, the angels and demons find out that they're there and trick her into going to the same town. And then they decide to merge the whole town with hell to trap them in it. So now they're trapped in this hell town with zombie mermen, hellhounds, zombies, ghosts, Anubis, zombified Anubis, and demons and angels are all trapped in there. So that's pretty much where we're at with them, you know, trying to fight their way out. And
typical Tuesday.
Yeah, right. It's normal. In four, which is the one coming out April 18th, we get to introduce our version of zombies. And we call them subspecies of, vampires, because I don't want anyone to be like, that's not vampires. But our subspecies of vampires are called clotters. And their heart beats every 6 hours, just long enough to keep off rigor mortis. So stabbing them in the heart doesn't work. It would eventually, but by then you'd be killed. So the best way to do is chop off their head or set them on fire. Now the gross part is, and of course I love it because I don't want to gore, when you cut them, it's all clotted, disgusting blood because their heart's not beating. So pretty much it's a little bit grosser when you chop off a head or whatever. Also, if they don't feed regularly, they start to decompose because we're zombie people and we like everything to decompose. So they start to decompose and they get weaker as they go. And that's pretty much, I don't know if you could see in the background, this is our vampire zombie here who's decomposing. So we have that. And then pretty much four through six is them trying to destroy the vampires and get through that small little thing going on. The story never really slows down. It's like nonstop action, and it's not as chaotic as issue one through three. It slows down a little bit in three, but I don't like to say it slows down because it balances out a little bit more. If someone's like, it's very chaotic, I was like, yeah, well, it's in the name. It is. It jumps from one thing to another, and it doesn't stay like that. It evens out a little bit. And the reason why it's called Worthy Chaos is because her angelic blood attracts everything evil. And so she always feels bad because poor Draven gets, like, you know, dragged into all this disastrous mess nonstop. And he always says it's worth it. So I figured we named it because she's worth the chaos. So she's Worthy Chaos. Like I said, it's a lot goes on. I mean, in three, it's all the zombies. In four, they go to an island and they actually travel to hell. And then in five, they're trying to get off the island and all that stuff. So a lot happens. just a little bit.
Beards and Comics Podcast is a production of Catalyst Comics Studio. To get in touch with us, visit CatalystComicsStudio.com or search for Beards and Comics Podcast on Facebook. Hey, if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It doesn't sound like much, but it helps a whole lot.